This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour is brought to you by our good friends at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews. Best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drink, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. And the pickle bar, led by my two favorites, the Barrels and the Bills. Indeed, second to none at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia. Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf and online at sunburymo.com. And do we have Bob? We do. Bob Nightingale.
Bob Nightingale.
Always a pleasure. Bob, first of all, welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us. Hello, Bob.
Hey, Steve, how you doing?
Hey, doing great. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Well, it's always great to get to the start of baseball season, where I actually took some time last night for the Sweet 16. I watched a little bit of a couple of opening games. But, of course, what's overshadowing this is Shohei Ohtani. You have followed Ohtani intently over time. What has been your initial read of all of this?
Well, he certainly handled it well. I mean, he doesn't seem rattled. You know, talked to him briefly before the game yesterday, then we all did afterwards, and seemed like no distraction. I mean, he insists he had no knowledge at all, you know, that his interpreter was really his best friend, you know, stole the money from him. So, you know, MLB is doing an investigation just to see, make sure that he had no involvement. But even if he did, Steve, since it didn't involve baseball gambling, it would be, you know, no more than a slap on the wrist.
Well, exactly, because we talk about that with the NFL. Everyone remembers some of the suspensions in the NFL. It was only because they were betting on non-NFL games in the facility. So that's why they got a slap in the wrist. Where does the language barrier come in with this? And I'm not just talking about the interpreter, okay? The one that's in trouble. But is it tough kind of gauging him because of the language barrier between the two, because you have to have that exchange?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the get-go, but you can talk to him, Steve, casually, you know, not every him in English. He understands English, you know, at least basic English, pretty well. So, you know, so I mean, obviously he must have understood enough English when his interpreter was apologizing to the team that he picked up on it and say, wait a minute now, you know, I didn't agree to this. I didn't fund your gambling.
Well, I think we lost Bob there for a second. There he is.
So, I'm not sure, you know, what the problem was, but he understands English. He really does.
All right, so it's not an issue. Mookie Betts is, when I first saw Mookie Betts, I did a game in Lowell between State College and Lowell in the New York Penn League. He was playing second base, right, and actually pretty good at it. And then, of course, the Red Sox moved into the outfield because they had, you know, they were thinking about Dustin Pedroia at the time. What about the move to shortstop? What's your thought on that with him?
I mean, he's so athletic. You know, they're confident he'll get better and better as the year goes on. But, you know, Steven, that's the hardest position in the field, you know, it's that catcher. And to think a guy can, all of a sudden, who hasn't played shortstop on a regular basis since high school, all of a sudden do it at a major league level, you know, for a contender, it's kind of hard to believe. We'll see what happens. you know, you talk to baseball scouts, they're kind of uncertain how this will work out, just because it's such a tough position. You know, he may be adequate, but for a team that wants to go to the World Series, you better be more than adequate.
All right, so, obviously it's an interesting answer with this group, because how concerned, look, I know spring training's one thing, but when a guy's ERA is higher than the father in the coach pitch league, that's not good. And Yamamoto's ERA in spring training, and then in the opener against, he got tacked for 5 runs against San Diego. Any concern about him early?
I don't think so. I mean, at least they're not expressing it publicly. You know, I think the reason being is just for whatever reason, when a lot of the Japanese players come over, they struggle in spring training. You know, then when the lights turn on, you know, they perform lights out. Remember, you know, Lou Piniella wanting to, almost release Ichiro Suzuki his first spring. I covered Hideo Nomo, and he stumped at first spring with the Dodgers. Ohtani was terrible with the Angels. So it was that first game in Korea, but I think all the fanfare, remember that the Ohtani scandal was going on that day. So we'll see what happens. I just can't believe that, you know, everybody in baseball was wrong in this guy. And we had about, 8 or 10 teams, you know, offered him over $250 million.
All right, so now here's the next part. There are a couple of guys that signed very late in this, including Jordan Montgomery. What, if any, is the concern of the Players Association because of how late the signings took place?
Well, they're all the same, you know, Scott Boras guys. I mean, they want those guys signed earlier. I think the price tag was just too high. You know, when you're floating around, you know, 9 years at 270 for Snell, over 200 for Bellinger, you know, that sort of thing, you know, over 125 for Chapman, and the market wasn't there. And so they, you know, end up having to sign late just because there's no other offers. I mean, outside the Yankees offer, you know, the only team that made an offer was Blake Snell. And he didn't particularly want to go to San Francisco. He didn't want to go to the Angels. So, you know, before that, I think the Player Association was pretty happy with the way, you know, the market had gone.
All right, and of course, there's a little bit of upheaval within the Players Association. What's your read on that right now?
Well, I just, you know, there was a groundswell coming from, I think, you know, Harry Marino, who kind of organized the minor leaguers, you know, into the union. And, you know, people were starting to get upset. They wanted Harry to be part of it. He left, kind of falling out with the Bruce Meyer and Tony Clark. And I think they had to take a vote before opening day if anything was going to happen. It never happened. So, you know, I think there's people still upset. I think it's kind of a wake-up call to the union. Like, okay, we better get everybody, you know, on board here. Maybe add some more attorneys. Because there's too many people that are upset with Bruce Meyer, the number two guy. And, you know, MLB fought with him tooth and nail. I thought he did a good job. You don't want your number two guy, you know, out playing golf every day with Rob Manfred. You're supposed to be the enemy.
Can he beat Manfred? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I know about that.
All right. Give me a couple of early season storylines that interest you right out of the gate.
Well, I mean, obviously, the Dodgers, Ohtani. I'm here in L.A. just because it's kind of the epicenter of all baseball right now. We'll see about the Yankees. I think they're short. We'll see what happens. I know they, you know, Soto had a big game yesterday, but, you know, Soto is not a good outfielder. You know, that throw shocked me just because, you know, he was so bad in San Diego defensively. I think people are sleeping on the Baltimore Orioles. I don't see any reason why they can't be just as good, if not better, than a year ago. So it seems like the young guys, whether it's, you know, when Holiday comes up, Chirios with Milwaukee, you know, the young Langford kid with Texas Rangers, those are fun guys to watch, and they captivate a lot of attention.
You mentioned the Orioles, and by the way, there's a reason why the Astros ran on Soto yesterday. Is exactly why you said, you know, I mean, but he made the play. The Orioles, new ownership coming in with a young base. How interesting is that a story as to how that plays out over the next few years? Because there are going to be a lot of guys coming up on contracts.
Yeah, I mean, with the new owner there, and obviously, you know, when new owners come in, they like to spend money. I was kind of hoping that they would go out and sign a Jordan Montgomery, you know, sort of thing. But yeah. I do think it means they'll be more aggressive now with the trade deadline, you know, take on big contracts and go from there. But I think it's a fun team to watch. And, you know, they're actually my pick to win the World Series. I'm surprised that, you know, people, you know, are picking different teams to win the division even. In the world, not to win more than 90 games, and they win 101 games. You know, I don't see why they can't match that this year.
No, I agree with you. That's why I was talking about the other day. Somebody said, "Who's your favorite in the East?" I said, "Baltimore." I just really like their base, and then, you know, they added in Burns. I mean, now let's get to. I want to get to the Phillies for a second. They didn't really make a lot of moves. They stood pat with what they have. What's your thought when you look at Philadelphia? Because any move they've made has only been a subtle one to this point.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I love the makeup in that clubhouse, you know, ownership GM on down. But yeah, I wish they had done more. I mean, I know they, you know, retained the two guys they wanted with Nolan and Wheeler. But that being said, I would have loved to have seen them get a Jordan Montgomery. You know, I know they're looking for left-handed outfielder. But it doesn't seem like enough. You know, I don't like the fact they're bringing everybody back and then add some new pieces. I think they're thin. I mean, with Taijuan Walker getting hurt off the bat, I just worry about that rotation outside, you know, the top two, three guys. I throw Ranger Suarez in there. So, you know, after top three, I kind of worry about the rotation.
And then there's Atlanta, the team that conquers them in the regular season, but they conquer in the postseason. Atlanta added in Chris Sale, who's gone from, my opinion, of being a dominant seven, maybe eight-inning pitcher to being a dominant four- or five-inning pitcher just because of injuries and so forth. What do you think of the makeup of Atlanta right now?
I still think Atlanta's a team to beat in the National League. I know everybody's talking about the Dodgers, but they're a great, great team. You know, the position players are unbelievable. And if Sale can stay healthy, you know, put him in the that rotation come postseason time, you know, look out. So they're always dangerous. You know, Antopoulos, Antopoulos, the GM, you know, is as good as anybody in the business. So I like them a lot. I don't see any reason why they can't be in the World Series.
Okay. And you did mention the briefly the Yankees. Your thoughts on the Yankees, and then we'll go to the Mets after that. just to have fun today.
Yeah, I mean, I just think the Yankees are short. I mean, they really need these guys to step up, you know, like Rondon and be that type of guy. You need Garrett Cole to be the same Garrett Cole when he comes back, you know, in late May or early June. So it just seems they're so fragile. You know, they don't seem that depth either. When the big boys go down, you know, what do they have? So, I mean, I think they're a good team, but just not a great team. And there's always a reason why they can't be a 90-win team.
Right, and then there are the Mets.
I mean, here's Steve Cohen, won everybody's praise in New York. Everybody's excited, spending money, and it blew up on their face. I mean, last year's team was a disaster. So he hires David Stearns not to write checks, but, you know, hey, build me a consistent winner. You know, build me what Atlanta has. And that's what they're doing. I mean, that's why they didn't stay out of the free agent market. You know, they signed, J.D. Martinez. I'm sure they're hoping they can trade J.D. Martinez at the trade deadline. I think they'll definitely trade Pete Alonso at the deadline. And then I think, you know, reset him the salary cap or luxury tax and then go from there. I do believe they'll be a big player for Juan Soto next year. And I think Soto prefer to play with the Mets than the Yankees. I think he likes the National League.
Yeah, interesting. What do you think of Lindor?
Good player. I'm not sure he'll ever, you know, be that star player. You know, like, you know, I don't think he's going to be a Derek Jeter, but certainly a talented guy. You know, I thought Cleveland made a great trade when they trained the Mets. So, you know, a very, very solid player. So I think if he can just, you know, keep doing what he did last year, they'll take it. There's no reason why this guy can't be durable. I mean, he plays a lot. So, you know, I like the fact he likes, you know, play as many games as possible. You know, a little bit like a Marcus Semien.
One final question, and that's about the San Francisco Giants. They keep making runs at big names, and they keep like being the bridesmaid for big names. In the end, are there any factors that's allowing them to seemingly finish second and third for big names as opposed to first?
Well, you know, Buster Posey, who is now part of the ownership there, you know, he mentioned just the city, you know, the decay of the city. And he was kind of rebuffed from that, and people said, no, that's not true. It's not that bad. I mean, it is bad, but, you know, a lot of cities aren't what they used to be, you know, since COVID. So let's see what happens. You know, I know, hitters, you better overpay to get there. But, you know, hey, you know, they end up getting Chapman. They end up getting Snell. You know, they got, you know, June Lee, the Korean center fielder. So they made some nice moves. The pitchers really love playing there. It's just, what, nobody's hit 30 home runs there, you know, since Barry Bonds, which is amazing in this day and age.
That is amazing in this day and age. It is. It's almost like telling everybody that Duke hasn't beaten a team higher seeded than them in 30 years, and that's a fact, too. All right. Bob, thanks so much. Happy opening week, and we'll talk again soon. It's always great. Thank you.
All right. Look forward to it. Take care, Steve.
Bob Nightingale, USA Today, one of the best in the business and always so generous with his time. This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies and the pickle bar, led by the barrels and the dills. My two favorites, by the way. Indeed, second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You want your young athlete to get the most out of life and NIL. You need a roadmap, a strategic approach. NIL Game Changers help student athletes earn what they learn in their collegiate journey. Driven by former student athletes and coaches who work as NIL sports agents and content media designers, they'll guide both student and family, starting with high school students looking toward college and those already in college. Get a seasoned team of marketing experts with a background in athletics and coaching. Visit NILGameChangers.org, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The beverage supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Well, great to be with you. We won't have the king today, by the way. I know we were going to, but his brother-in-law just had back surgery, and they have to do certain things to get his brother-in-law from the hospital back home. So that's where he is. That's why we won't have him in the final half hour. He texted me about 2 hours ago to make sure I knew that. So all good. And, yeah, that's so, Todd, happy least, day to you.
I was going to say, at least he didn't have it from carrying us in those segments. So,
oh, my goodness. I mean, we're backbreaking. I mean, my goodness, we are just, you know. So I texted Brian Barnhart, who's the play-by-play voice of Illinois. And I said, you know what? I said, you know what's really interesting? Is that you match up really well with UConn with one exception. And the exception is point guard. The exception is Tristan Newton. That's one thing that, you know, you look at Iowa State, and as you know, I picked Illinois to beat Iowa State, and I said I'm going to pick good offense over great defense this time. I don't usually do that, but I just felt, and that's what they built when they had Iowa State off balance last night, was early in the game where Iowa State couldn't get their traps. They couldn't get used to the speed with which Illinois plays. I know that Brad Underwood was talking after the game. He said, hey, great. He said, we got back. He says, everybody says we're not a great defensive team. We got back, played great defense. Oh, mercy me, Brad. No, your defense was not good last night. All the missed shots in tight that Iowa State had in the game. It was like all the ingredients were there for Illinois to win it. Again, especially in the second half, Illinois reverted. They're not a good defensive team. Sorry, Brad. There's not a great defensive team at all. And I'm watching them, and like 10 minutes ago, I'm sitting there watching going, great, they're back to Swiss cheese. Right? Because that's how they play. Now, they can't get away with that against UConn. But they have the big people that can match up with Klingon. They can match up with Spencer. They already know that. They faced Spencer when he was at Rutgers. Right? They have the athleticism to match up with Castle. But the guy that's going to be the toughest matchup for them is going to be Newton. Because Newton controls the tempo and the pace of the game. And he does it beautifully. Iowa State played too fast last night, over and over again. They just got so over-anxious in the first 15 minutes of the game, they dug themselves a hole. Because they didn't play at their tempo. They felt like they had to play at the Illinois tempo. UConn's not going to do that. UConn is not going to play at the Illinois tempo. UConn's going to play at the UConn tempo. And that's going to be the problem for Illinois tomorrow. But if Illinois hits shots, they match up really well in all the other spots against UConn. But they have to hit their shots.
Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, NIL Game Changers, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Final half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers, the ultimate destination for name, image, and likeness opportunities for individuals or businesses. Go to NILGameChangers.org. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Ritz 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. So the first number one seed is out, and that is North Carolina. So the question is going to be, will Dabo Swinney and Nick Saban show up for the game in Los Angeles as Clemson plays Alabama? How about that? Clemson and Alabama.
Charles Barkley kept calling Brad Brunell last night Dabo Swinney.
Oh, jeez. Really?
Yes.
Great. Perfect.
He nailed it.
Yeah, well, he picked Alabama last night, by the way. The Auburn guy picked Alabama to win, which is... That's wild and wacky stuff.
Between the Caleb Love and R.J. Davis last night, that was some bad shooting.
A lot of bad shooting last night.
Yeah.
What did I say? Alabama had to hit 12 threes in the game to win. And 15 would be preferable. They hit 11. They hit 11 threes last night. But Nelson hit his two. Sears was 2 of 7. Estrada was 1 of 4. But Griffin was 5 of 8 in threes.
I was just going to say, I think he was either 3 of 3 or 4 of 4 to start, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I said 10 to 15 threes, 12 would be preferable to hit 11. Close. But Grant Nelson, the North Dakota State transfer, was brilliant. 36 minutes of work, 24 points, 12 boards. Pretty good night.
I think it's the fourth Alabama game I watched. It's by far the best game he played. It's also the first time that I watched him play that he wasn't in foul trouble for most of the game, too.
Right. That's exactly right. Meanwhile, we always talk about the combination. Can you hit more the combination of the two lines and what it means? All right, so let's go to Illinois. Illinois had 42 points from the two lines last night, and Iowa State had 35, plus 7. Illinois won the game by 3. Alabama, two lines last night. They had, 33-14 is, 47? And the other side, 36-51. So North Carolina was a plus 4, but Alabama won by 2. Does it really matter with UConn and San Diego State? Not really, but we'll do it anyway. 20 points, two lines for San Diego State. UConn had 42. They won the two lines by 22, won the game by 30. And then there's Clemson and Arizona. Two lines last night. And again, Schifrin, Hall, Hunter, Godfrey, Hunter, they all played against Penn State last year, and Gerard played against Penn State who was at Syracuse. All right? Hall's a good player. Hall makes a big difference. I like Chase Hunter a lot, but P.J. Hall I really like. And last night, two lines, 35 for Clemson to 32 for Arizona. And Clemson won the game by 5. They won it 35 to 32. So they were plus 3 of the two lines of the game. They won by 5. Makes a difference. It makes a difference. Now, tonight, NC State Marquette. All right. Gonzaga Purdue. Yeah. That should be pretty good. That's on TBS tonight. For some odd reason, Duke's on CBS. I don't understand. Duke and Houston are on CBS, but that's at 9:39. Tomorrow's Saturday. You should be in good shape, right?
I'll be in the office. I'll be up anyway.
Oh, you have to work?
Of course I do.
Because of the Friday. Well, what's going on Friday night?
Well, we have we do our pages too, so I have 2 pages.
Oh. Oh, okay.
Yeah, well, I mean, other than the basketball, I think there was 2 high school sporting events around here. Yeah, okay. they don't do much on Good Friday around here.
No, of course not. All right, so, and then the last game is Creighton against Tennessee. So let's do the quick breakdown. We talked about Purdue. Well, we'll talk about NC State first. So let's get to NC State first of all in all this. I mean, they are the team that they're the 11 seed, but they've won 7 games in a row. They're good offensively and they're good defensively. They are 41st in the nation in offense, and they're 75th in the nation in defense. The defensive part is the part that has the potential to kill them. I'm sure you're not surprised they get 53% of their points from 2. And they get 27.5% of their points from 3. And pace-wise, they're right in the middle of the pack, which is a term I would have used no matter what anyway, even though they are the Wolfpack. Marquette, 19th in the nation in offense, 19th in defense, and a little quicker pace, 93 in terms of pace in the country. And this team finishes beautifully around the rim. They're almost 57% in twos. They're really, really terrific. And they're an excellent three-point shooting team at 36%. And they do not get a lot of foul line points. They get 52% of their points from twos. They get 34% of their points from threes. They only get, I mean, they are third from the bottom in percentage of points from the free throw line. They only get 13.8 points a game. They only get 13.8% of their points at the free throw line. They're 360 out of 362. But man, they finish. I mean, they finish. All right, so then the next game is Gonzaga-Purdue. All right, so Gonzaga and Purdue. We all, you know, we already know how highly ranked Purdue is in everything. I mean, Purdue's been, you know, they are number three in offense. They're 15 in defense. They're middle of the pack pace-wise. You know, I can attest to that. They're not a team that goes fast. And I was talking to you yesterday about, I think people think they get 60% of their points from two. They get 48%. They get 30% from three. But boy, do they get a lot of points at the free throw line. They get 21% of their points at the free throw line. I mean, that's a relatively big number. 21.5% of their points from the line. And finish inside against them, tough. Purdue is 53.4% as a team from two. The opponent is only 47.6. Not great. Okay? Gonzaga. The Dogs. Okay. Their biggest problem was St. Mary's. They couldn't beat St. Mary's this year, which is a rarity. Normally, they're the team that does it to them. But they are seventh in the nation in offense, in offensive efficiency. They are 44 in defensive efficiency. Excellent. Finish around the basket. So this is where, this is right here. This is going to tell you something tonight. Can Gonzaga finish around the basket? Because as a two-point shooting team, they are a little bit better than 58% in twos. Right? That's seventh in the nation in two-point field goal percentage. All right. Defensively, they're great. Can they stop Edie? 44.6%. They're 10th in the nation in defense against twos. See, that's the whole ball game. And they get 59% of their points from twos and only 25% of their points in threes. They're in the 300s. And they only get 16.5% of their points at the free throw line while Purdue's getting like 5.2 million. So everything's around the basket in this game tonight. If Gonzaga is finishing, watch out. If Edie is controlling the glass and controlling the shot that they take, then it's going to be interesting. Now, the two teams played way back when. And Purdue won 73-63, but that was back, I think, I want to say that was in Maui. I think that was in Maui. Maui, Detroit, what's the difference? In fact, I think it wasn't actually in Maui. I think they were playing in Honolulu because of what happened with the tragedy in Maui. Duke. So I was kidding around with Bob Nightingale. They haven't beaten a team seeded higher than them in 30 years. How can that be? Easily. There's reasons. Duke, fifth in the nation in offense, 20th in defense. Way back in the pack and pace. Duke does not play fast. You know, I mean, Jeremy Roach is really good. McLean's been just outstanding in the postseason. Proctor's been good, and we all know about Filipowski. And Mark Mitchell's a good player. All right. 54% twos. 49% defensively, and their point distribution is nice and even. 50% in twos, 32% in threes, 18% in free throws. Okay? And they will play Houston, and Houston is an exponentially better offensive team than people realize. They are 2 in defense behind Iowa State, They are 14 in offense, but man, they do not play fast. They are 346 out of 362 in pace. They only average about 63 possessions a game. That brings two parts into play here, Todd. Number one, they're controlling the tempo of the game, but number two, when you don't play at a fast pace, there aren't as many possessions, and it opens the door to like getting to the last 5 minutes of a really close game. They're okay as a two-point shooting team. They're okay. All right? Eh. Like no better than okay as a two-point shooting team, but as a two-point defensive team, they're third in the nation, 43.1%. Distribution, 51% of their points come from twos, 32% and threes, 17% at the free throw line. Okay. And of course, and then there's Creighton in Tennessee. So Creighton and Tennessee. We'll start with Creighton, the Fighting Blue Jays.
I never knew Blue Jays was one word in their nickname.
Yeah, it's just one word. Not like Toronto, it does two words. So this is a team that is really good at both ends of the floor. They're 10th in offensive efficiency, the 25th defense. They're middle of the pack in tempo. They are nearly 60% in twos. Man, do they finish around the basket. I mean, they're third in the nation in two-point field goal percentage. 59.7, almost 60%. And you combine that with the fact they're almost 37% in threes. They play great offense. And they're defensively around the basket really good. 45.7. But here's the Creighton's problem. Creighton gives up too many three-point shots to the opposition. Too many. What does the three-pointer mean to Creighton? A lot. They get 46% of their points from twos. And you see the two-point percentage is great. You'd be like, hey, pound it inside. That's not what they do. They get 46% of their points in twos, 14.5% at the free throw line, 14.5% of their points. They get 40% of their points from three, Todd. 40%. And their three-point percentage is almost 37%. They get 40% of their points from three.
Wow.
And then as for Tennessee, this is the world of Dalton Connect. Zakai Ziegler. Adu, Lescovi, Jordan James, a good team. 30th on offensive efficiency, but they're number three in defensive efficiency. So where are they on 3-point defense? How about 28th in the country? Their 3-point percentage defense is 28th in the country at 30.9%. See, there's your matchup right there. Can Creighton hit enough threes, or conversely, can Tennessee prevent them from hitting threes? See, that's going to be the ball game. And by the way, Tennessee's an okay middle-of-the-pack three-point shooting team at 34% for the field. Terrific around the basket. Only 44% do they give up in twos, and we talk about what Creighton does. But the ball game is going to be that three-point percentage defense of Tennessee, which is 28th in the country, against Creighton's three-point defense because they get 40% of their points from that spot. As for what Tennessee does, they get 47% of their points from twos, 20% from the free throw line, and 33% of their points come from threes. So it just gives you an idea of the matchups. But Creighton, Tennessee is all about the three-point line. Can Creighton hit enough threes? Conversely, can Tennessee prevent them from hitting threes with great defense? Very interesting. All right. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment. This half hour brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Spring has sprung, and it's time to dust off those insurance policies. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855 or visit our website at purdyinsurance.com to see what we can do for you.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing, they can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Right, scrimmage day for the football team. Jack and I are going to go over and watch them scrimmage. Probably go over in about an hour, I guess. So I told Jack, should I be there at 3:15? I said, Jack, don't be there at 3:15, no. Don't do that. And they're going to have, I believe, in the neighborhood of 40 recruits there today. Penn State basketball. Kanye Clary has decided he's going to go to Mississippi State, by the way. And we wish him nothing but the best. But he made that, he announced his decision on Instagram. But Penn State has a couple of guys in this weekend, one in particular that Dick Girardi and I are extremely high on. Not a little bit, extremely high on. Don't look at his freshman year stats. There are circumstances around it. All right. Don't play the foolish game, okay? You have to watch people play to understand how good they actually are. You also have to understand the circumstances of what's going on at the time. I'll leave it at that. I'm good at leaving it at that. All right. Hey, it's Easter weekend. Is Passover going on right now? I apologize for not knowing that. Normally, I'm pretty good about that right out of the gate.
That is not something I can answer either.
Well, let's just look. Passover does not start until Monday, April 22nd. Okay. All right. So Monday, April 22nd is when Passover starts. Okay. But this is Easter weekend. It's Good Friday today. Be safe and sound. In your house, is it ham that is served or something else?
It will be ham. And it will be at my mother-in-law's.
Very nice. I'm about an hour away from talking to ham. That's a good one. I thought that was really good. Come on.
That was good.
This half hour has been brought to you by NIL Game Changers. Go to NILGameChangers.org. Have a great weekend.